This morning's scripture reading is from Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Not the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Please be seated.
Good morning. What a blessing it is to come together and worship. And we're thankful for those who are visiting with us as well as our members. Looking forward to the day when we can all be together in one place. And that's not a building that I'm talking about, but certainly in heaven as we look forward to that day. But I know that in this life, we need that contact and we need that's social interaction from our family here in the congregation, and certainly we have been missing that. And so we look forward to the day when we can all be together in this one place together as well. And so, but we're thankful for those who can join us online and for that technology and the ability to be able to do that, and thankful for our elders in seeing the need for that and pressing for that as well, and for those who have helped us to get those things together. We've been excited about the virtual VBS, and I think it has gone very well. And I've heard from some families and from some young guys and girls as well. And I know that they've had a good time doing those lessons with their families and sharing those even with us. And so we are excited about that. And so make sure that you pick up week 4. This will be the last week of the Vacation Bible School, but monthly it is our goal that we will send out a video, as we have been doing along with each of these weeks of virtual VBS. We're going to send out a video to our young people. We've sent it out to really the whole congregation by way of email and even shared it on our Facebook page as well, but or in our group rather, because that's in-house type of thing. But anyway, we want to be able to share a message with our young people each month. And so that's something that we plan to continue to do. And so families, be looking for that as well. This morning, I want us to spend some time looking at Galatians 2 and verse 20, where Jeff read just a moment ago. Galatians 2 and verse 20. And it's a passage of scripture that even at Bible camp, we often sing this particular verse. And so sometimes it's hard to read it and not be singing it in our minds. At least it is for me, because so many times we have certainly done so. But I want us to think about this passage of Scripture and think about the fact that He lives in me. That's the main focus, if you will, of this particular passage. He lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And as we think about that particular passage of Scripture, there's four things that I want us to focus on. Because number one, we are reminded that Jesus died on the cross for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for you and for me, that we might have everlasting life. John 10 and verse 10 reminds us of the very same idea, that Jesus came to, the Son of Man came to offer life, and life more abundantly, in fact. He is that substitution for us, for our sins. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul is saying, I have been crucified, or I am crucified. It's interesting because this particular passage, I want us to look at four things this morning. And these four things have to do with, number one, the cost. Number two, the character Number three, the conviction. And then number four, the Christ himself. Number one, the cost. We look at this passage of Scripture. I have been crucified with Christ. Think about the cost, the great cost that was paid. Not something that was easy, not something that was to be taken lightly, not something that was free. Although the reward is something that is free for you and me, according to Romans 6:23, but it wasn't free for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was a tremendous cost to leave the glories of heaven and to come and to die for you and for me. Why? Because sin, the great separator, separated us from God. And there had to be a payment made. And that payment was the blood and the life of Jesus, the very Son of God. That phrase, have been crucified. Interestingly, the present perfect tense makes it a specific event in time with continued benefits. So a specific point in time when something that took place and then continued benefits into the future. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 reminds us, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That is for you and for me. He tasted death, the Hebrews writer claimed. Galatians 6 and verse 14, God forbid, Paul says, that I should glory, save or accept in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In 1 John 5, verse 19, John wrote, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Giving us a picture of the reason that such a premium price had to be paid for our sins. Again in Galatians, this time verse 5, or rather chapter 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so in these verses, we begin to see a point in time where something that took place that has yet continued benefits. And Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, or I have been crucified with Christ, depending on which translation that you're looking at. So Paul had crucified. What does that mean? In other words, he put to death something. The crucifixion is that symbol of death. It was a tool of death. It was a means of something that had to die. We see this then in Romans chapter 6. We see exactly what Paul is referring to here, beginning in verse 1. In Romans 6, in verse 1, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he says. Absolutely not then. We should not continue in sin just so that we might have more grace. You see, he understood by the things that he was writing, he understood that there would be those who would take this idea and say, okay, well, if grace is such a wonderful thing and there's such an abundance of it, if we were to continue to sin, then we would have more grace. And he says, that's foolish thinking. Absolutely not. We should not continue in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why? Because we've crucified that. We've put that to death, that old man of sin. He's been crucified. He's been put to death. And then he says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, and therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There is a new life that's in place. Having crucified with Christ, that old man, he was put to death. Therefore, we do not continue along in sin any longer. And certainly not in its context that grace may abound in some form or fashion. And then he says, to illustrate it more, he says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, he says, is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. In the Galatians letter, chapter 2, chapter 5, chapter 6, Paul's talking about this same idea, this same connection. I've been crucified with Christ. The old man put to death, putting on the new man in Christ Jesus, and then not continuing in sin, but now continuing as his disciple, following him in the direction that he has sent us, according to his word. That old man has been crucified, the new man. You see, he looks different by the way that he's living his life. He sounds different by the speech that he's using in this life. He looks different because the things that are most important in his life are those things that are prominent, and they are those things which are from above. You see, I think Paul is trying to get us to understand that there's a process. There's a growth that takes place. But there's a point in time, a specific point in time, and Paul says in the Romans letter, he says that's when we were crucified, put to death, and then raised to walk in newness of life. And he says that's when we were baptized into the very death of Jesus Christ and raised ourselves by the glory of the Father. How so? Because Jesus shed his blood for us. And this is our Lord's plan to save us from sin. It cannot be separated then from what Paul is trying to explain so that we would understand as a new creation, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, that we continue no longer in sin, but rather following Christ. That's the cost. And that's where we begin to understand this first phrase, I have been crucified with Christ. But number two, we think about the character. Because that change that's taken place, that old man crucified, the new man that's put on in Christ Jesus, that new man, he's living a different life. We're talking about living the saved life. What does that look like? What does it look like? The character. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It should be obvious to those around us that it's not me. It's not the same old man of sin any longer. It's a new man, and it's one that's in Christ. And so others are seeing Christ living in me. That's the picture. That's what he's talking about. The Apostle Peter says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. Luke 9 and verse 23. Jesus himself taught us, and if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Well, Jesus gave a different picture of that, but it's the same idea. He says he has to deny himself. Why? Because it's often that we put ourselves first in this life. We put ourselves first, and in so doing, Christ doesn't have first place. God doesn't have first place. And we begin down a treacherous road that looks much like Romans 1, verses 18 to 32. Because even though all things around us point to the God of heaven who created, we become neither thankful nor do we worship him, but rather begin to worship ourselves. The creature, he says. Romans 1, 18 to 32 gives us that very picture. And so Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up that cross daily. That picture of a crucifixion, of a death. We have to die to self. And he says daily that we might truly follow him. Christ who lives in me. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Because Paul, yet in another letter, would give us yet more information, what this looks like, how it's supposed to be seen in our lives, Colossians chapter 3. In beginning in verse 1, he says, if you then have been risen with Christ. So at that point in time, where you've put on Christ in baptism, the old man's been put to death. From that point forward, having been crucified with Christ, the continued blessings that are therein in Christ, if you've then been risen with Christ, he says, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You see, our character is going to look different because our affections are different in Christ. He says, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with Him in glory. That continued benefit that we gain by being in Christ and having been crucified with Christ. And so he says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That change of character takes place. Then number three, as we continue on. Number three is the conviction. You see, there comes a point in time when my character, yes, has changed. My life looks different because it looks like Christ. You see, it's so easy for folks to get caught back into the world. It's so easy for folks to take a step back and say, you know, my life, it had some advantages maybe in the past. There were some things that I sure did enjoy back in the old days, right? And it's easy for us to forget about those continued benefits and blessings that we have in Christ because He lives in me. And so the conviction, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, he says. This living by faith, this has to do with our personal conviction and belief in Jesus Christ and in His plan to save us. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Here's what it really means. A conviction is that which is planted upon a firm foundation. Jesus gave us that picture about a man who built his house on the sands of the shore, and the wind came, the rains came, and it beat upon it, and that house fell flat, right? But upon a firm foundation, upon the rock that is Christ. Isn't it interesting when you start to picture then when Jesus is asking His disciples, well, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. Well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus say, you're blessed. Simon Barjona, son of John, he says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this sandy shoreline? No. Upon this rock, the statement that you've just made, that conviction that I am the very Son of God, he says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, should not prevent it in any way, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And you have Peter and the apostles then preaching that message on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and the door is opened by the preaching of the gospel on that very day. And the saved are added to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47. You see, Jesus did exactly what He said He was going to do. And He taught us about that firm foundation upon which we can have that conviction, that personal belief and assurance that Jesus is the Christ and that by His plan, my obedience to it, He is faithful and trustworthy, and He will keep His word, and I'll have heaven as my home. That firm foundation. Faith that comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. My life then, my decisions, my choices are now based upon that faith. That conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God. We sing songs about living by faith and high ground. I'm pressing on, right? The upward way. And new heights I'm gaining every day. Why? And how is that even possible? Because you go back to that first phrase, I have been crucified with Christ. And therefore, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That faith in Jesus Christ. And it's with conviction and assurance that we can have a new life in Christ. And one with yet continued and eternal benefits. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. We want to begin at verse 16. Paul wrote, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." Well, that's something we need, right? That's something that especially maybe in these difficult times in which we live, and that for which Brother James prayed just moments ago in such a beautiful way, thinking about what we have in this life and all of those things around us, ultimately, they really don't matter. Because our faith and our conviction and our assurance that we have in Christ, well, don't they renew us day by day? Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, there's something that is better. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen, he says, those are temporary. But the things which are not seen, those are eternal things. And he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul says there's something better. And it's found in the faith of Jesus, the very Son of God. We know, he says, we know if this tent, this life, once it's over, when it's dissolved, we have a building of God, eternal in the heavens. Not something made with hands, something made by God Himself, something that awaits us all who are faithful to Christ. The last thought is this, the Christ. See, this is the main focus of the passage, the very Son of God. This is what it's all about. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What He did, well, we often, and rightly so, focus on the very love of God to send His only begotten Son. And the willingness of Christ to leave the glories of heaven to come to this low land of sin and sorrow. To give His life a ransom for me. And for you, we focus on the love of God. But I want you to focus on also the power that's found in that. And I want you to focus also on the wisdom of God that is found in that plan to save mankind. Before the foundation of the world, Paul says in Ephesians 3, that we might through the church see the very manifold wisdom of God, he says. in that eternal plan which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3, verses 9 and 10. The very central figure of it all is the Christ. And Paul explains how that is. It's the cross. And therein we find power. Rooted in what Christ has done for us. For Him to go to the cross for you and for me. We see the very power of God to save mankind. At the very same time, we see the wisdom of God. A wisdom that is higher than ours. Isaiah 55:11. His ways are greater than our ways. And we would have come up with something, I'm sure. We would have tried. We would have come up with all sorts of plans. And if you don't believe me, just look around. You can read all kind of plans that are out there. That man has himself come up with. That this is how we're going to be saved. This is how we're going to do this. And some even getting on, even in this last week, espousing that you have the power within yourself to save yourself. How foolish and how blasphemous a message to promote. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Well, you see, that kind of arrogance, that's what you read in Romans 1:18-32. Where man has tried to do it on his own and says, there's no God. And yet the very evidence is right in front. Someone to come along and say that, well, it doesn't matter if there is a God. I don't care anyway, because you have the power within yourself. They're worshiping the creature, not the Creator. The power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, that should be the real motivation to live the saved life. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, or in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul, by inspiration, wrote this. Wisdom of God to save man from sin. And then when you couple that together with the very love of God, why would you not live for Him? You see, we so often get caught in the past. And we sometimes even get caught thinking only about the future. But if Jesus truly holds the future, then I need to be living in this present time for Him. And so focus on that this morning. And these 4 points from Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul preached Christ and Him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2:1 and following. Paul said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those who would believe, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and following. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And Galatians 2:20 reminds me then about the saved life and how important that is and what it truly looks like. It is the best life. It is a life that we can be a part of by choosing to obey the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ, confessing our faith in Him, repenting of sin, being baptized to put on Christ, to crucify that old man, to be raised to walk in newness of life, as we read in Romans 6. We can continue to live in it and be faithful unto Christ and have full assurance in our salvation. Is there anything that's more beautiful than that? And a message maybe that's more needed for others to hear out there who in a world of unrest, not sure where to turn. In a world that is plagued in many ways, but ultimately by sin. We have Christ, the Son of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the love of God. He loves you. How will you respond to Him? Have you obeyed the gospel? Is there a way that we can help you and encourage you this morning? We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing a song. And it's to help encourage those who may need to come forward and make things right with God, to ask for prayers. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you every way that we know how. As the family here at Eastside invites you to come while together we stand, while we sing.